This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanisen and Noel Lim. It's World Press Freedom Day, but there's little to celebrate. According to Reporters Without Borders, the past year has seen journalism blocked or constrained in 73% of countries in its annual report. Malaysia had the distinction of seeing the largest decline out of 180 countries, dropping from 101st place to the 119th spot.
There have been several developments in just the past few months that raise real concerns about whether the media can play an effective role in holding the powerful to account. And this is on top of the economic pressures that media outlets face amid both the pandemic and broader shift to digital that is eating into traditional revenue streams. So what are the main challenges for press freedoms in Malaysia? We discuss.
Yes, indeed. And to check the pulse of the media industry, we have on the line with us this morning Dato' Ahiruddin Atan, president of the National Press Club. Good morning, Dato'. Thanks for joining us. So Malaysia fell 18 spots in the latest RSF Press Freedom Index. What's the most concerning trend that you see affecting the Malaysian media's ability to play the role of watchdog?
Hello. Good morning. Good morning, BFM. Thank you for having me. First of all, I just like to note that the RSF ranking is not news. At least not to people like me. We have seen worse. We've seen RSF pull out rankings down to well below 140 out of 180 countries during Najib's time. You know, and the best that we had, the best ranking that we had was during Pala's time, you know, when we were in the 90 plus ranking. Ironically, that was also when ISA was still around. So now with the drop in the 18th rank drop, well, I'm not really too concerned because I don't think it reflects the real picture in Malaysia, because if you ask me personally, I think we are worse off than what RSF is saying that we are. You know? I think we are given the darurat, given the emergency ordinance, and given the economic impact of the COVID-19 on the media industry, we are actually worse than what we are today. And that it'd be an understatement to say that it is affecting our work.
And could you, elaborate, how is this affecting our work?
First and foremost, if you look at darurat, for example, for many of us, it's unprecedented, but it affects all spheres of life. And coupled with COVID-19, many of us have lost our jobs. Media companies are not doing that well, struggling just to survive, coupled with some of the treatment of the press that we receive, that we have seen lately, not least the last one, which involved our colleague in Awani for criticizing the police. These kind of things definitely hold us back from doing what we are supposed to do.
Now, when we take a look at the situation in terms of business viability for media outlets, you mentioned earlier the loss of jobs, which is something that's not been new even before the pandemic. We were seeing the structural decline of media. How has the pandemic exacerbated this? And how do you think media outlets need to adapt in order to survive going forward?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is we have to cut costs. Okay, I'm talking about journalists or media companies that are not dependent on political funds or from the government, our government agencies. You know, they're cutting costs, staying lean is the first thing that we have to do, and a lot of media companies are doing that. But at the same time, we've got I think 500-600 journalists who have been out of job in the last 1 year. There's probably something that other media companies can try and do. We can't wait for the government to help us. For example, we have seen a couple, for Media Prima, for example, they are on the way of, they're making a comeback. So they could rehire journalists. Petra Group, which I belong to now, is one of the few companies that have come out during the pandemic, and we are hiring. We have been hiring about 80 journalists. So I think it's the best. It's time for media companies to unite and see whether what we can do, combine, unite, share resources, and stuff like that.
Well, apart from coming out of the emergency and looking at ways to improve the financial viability of media companies, what else can we do to shore up media independence and also the public's confidence in us?
I suppose one of the things that we have been doing all this while is to get or to encourage journalists and editors to try and stick out their neck more. You know what I mean? It's not easy to do, but you people at BFM have been doing that, have been trying to do that. I think we need more journalists to just come out and say that, you know that old saying, be published and be damned. That will carry us a bit more in doing our job during these very trying times.
But sometimes it's also not just down to individual journalists, is it, Dato? Sometimes it also comes down to the stance of their publication. So should there be more transparency in terms of media ownership and even limits to political ownership of media outlets?
I'm all for that, you know, because I think we've been talking about political parties owning newspapers, for example, or news portals. But not just that, to be fair to the political parties, is also corporate ownership, because corporations, businessmen can be as ruthless as politicians when they want to protect their interests, their own interests. Yeah. So yes, that is, I'm all for that, more transparency. But I think we have the answer. We've been looking for the answer all this for 40 years. We've been trying to set up a media council, a Malaysian media council, a national media council, by the Act of Parliament, so that we could give ourselves, journalists, media, the muscles to regulate ourselves and do away with the many so-called draconian laws that we have now.
You know, the talks like this have been going on for years on end, and the Malaysian Media Council was something that was looking more hopeful during the Pakatan Harapan time, or at least there was more talk about it. Overall, though, what do you think is holding back any form of progress in this regard?
I suppose it's down to, right now, after 40 years, it is down to political will. Yeah? I mean, we did not managed to get the council going under Barisan Nasional. We did not get it going under Pakatan Harapan. Yep, YB Gobind went quite a bit to get us to set up the pro-term committee and all that, but a miss is as good as a mile. We didn't get it going. And now under the current PN government, we just don't seem to be moving at all. You know, I think what we need is for the minister involved, YB Saifuddin Abdullah, to walk the talk, you know, because I know him personally as someone who believes in press freedom, but he needs to walk the talk and come out and sit down with us and talk to us, because we have done so much work on MMC, the Media Council. This is the last mile that political will can make a difference.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Dato. That was Dato Ahiruddin Atan, president of the National Press Club, giving us a bit of a picture as to the current state of press freedom here in Malaysia, as well as what needs to be done. We've also been asking how much do you trust the Malaysian media? We were asking this on a poll on the BFM Twitter account. Roshan, what have people said so far?
Well, we've got about just under 200 votes in now. 5% say they highly trust Malaysian media. 41% say somewhat. 35% say not really. And 19% say not at all.
Do continue to let us know what you think about that. We'll be taking a look at the results of the poll through the morning. But right now, we're about to head into the 8 o'clock news bulletin. And then up next, Kusu Chuang will be speaking to Wee Eng Kong, Managing Director of Tuju Setia on The Breakfast Grill. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.